Warning, this podcast is subject to vulgar language. Listener discretion is advised.
To save our Mother Earth from any alien attack.
From vicious giant insects who have once again come back.
We'll unleash all of our forces, we won't cut them any slack.
The EDF deploys.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pawn Stars. I'm Will.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Josh.
Today we are going to talk about music in regards to video games, both composed and licensed. It is a very underappreciated thing in regards to games, so we decided that we should probably talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand the time it takes to go into composing of these video games.
Not just time, but money.
Yeah, the original scores that you get from games compared to licensing takes a lot more time, too, because then they have to write and compose. So it's kind of an underappreciated aspect of the game itself.
Licensing is probably a bit more expensive, but that's the lazy way out. Sorry, Rockstar.
Sorry, Deep Silver, as well.
Right. We are going to talk about both of them, so I think we should actually start with the license, because that's where you get most of your AAA titles, and it's the more well-known aspects in regards to music.
Yeah, the biggest one, Grand Theft Auto series, obviously their entire soundtracks are based upon songs that have been out, and, you know, actual artists instead of just made-up lyrics, or, you know, just composed music.
I think the best part about Rockstar's soundtracks are the ads on the radios. Not the songs at all.
Well, in fact, Josh, go ahead.
My favorite thing about all the radio stations in Grand Theft Auto are the talk shows that they do.
Oh yeah, the talk shows are amazing. So
what I mainly end up listening to.
We'll give them some props there, but that doesn't exactly fall under the soundtrack aspect that we're going for.
I agree with you 100%, because 90% of the time, I have the music turned off for GTA Online. Like, I just hit the down and just turn it off instead of actually turning off all the music volume. But when I'm just sitting there playing the game by myself, it's always on the talk show. The songs are cool, but the original content is what makes it better.
Agreed.
Like, I'll always see if the one certain radio station's playing Danger Zone, and if it is, I'm on the highway to the Danger Zone.
So. Oh yeah, definitely. The moment that comes on, it doesn't matter what you're doing, you just floor it.
Oh yeah, that's true.
That's probably the best one in that whole lineup of music that they had. And I will give Grand Theft Auto props. We're kind of stick with them just a little bit. But with Grand Theft Auto, they've actually updated their music, and they plan on keep updating it until Red Dead Redemption comes out.
As long as they give me more talk shows, that's all I care about.
Yeah.
As long as they make the music good.
Yeah, they're adding new talk shows to the talk show stations, because when they updated the music last, it was just music. It wasn't anything to do with the talk shows. So they added some things to them, but it was more along the lines of, let's give them newer music instead of just having the same thing for 15 years.
But the thing in regards to that is, that's not an increase in quality. Increase in quality would be the music that you get with expansions of games, not compared to just, I'm going to update because we got licenses for 10 more songs.
Yeah. Another one that's really big with that a lot of people like the music, and I know I've certain lists to this genre of music. It's a little bit older than I am, you know, from Fallout, that type of music, you know, what would it, what's
Butcher Pete.
Yeah, that sort of stuff. You know, it just, that music, I started listening to it more because of the Fallout series, but again, it's all licensed music.
But the thing in regards to Fallout is, the music is appropriate.
Yes.
I mean, Rockstar for Grand Theft Auto gives you a wide selection of things that you can choose. But when it comes to Fallout, all of it is very fitting for the game itself.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have random things. But the big example in regards to that is add-ons for Fallout. A lot of them are radio stations.
Yeah.
And it's stuff like We're Alive podcast broadcast that you can get in the game, where it's actually a live stream of the We're Alive story narrative.
Yeah.
That's really cool while you're running around trying to avoid Deathclaws. Look at the radio add-ons, Josh. Some of them are amazing.
Yeah.
Right.
And We're Alive is a lot like, it was originally basically a podcast Walking Dead, a real story-driven one. And the fact that you can get that while walking around tunnels with Deathclaws everywhere kind of adds to the creepiness factor.
Oh, yeah.
But if I'm walking around listening to Butcher Pete while trying to fight a super mutant, that's when it doesn't kind of fit.
Yeah.
Or listening to the Ink Spots or Dean Martin, anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, even Frank Sinatra has quite a few songs in those ones. It actually got me starting to listen to Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra, and the Ink Spots, which, you know, those bands were more along the lines of just lounge singers, but, I mean, that music was made 30 years before I was even born.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. So, I mean, it's great music. It still changes the way people, hear music and everything.
I sing Frank Sinatra for karaoke and clean the house to it.
It's some of my favorite music.
And it's awesome music, and I didn't even know about its existence, you know, because it's a lot older than I am. But this game really brought me into it and broadened my horizons for it.
Another game that uses a lot of licensed material is Saints Row.
Yeah.
I think Saints Row is a bit more fitting.
Yeah.
Gameplay-wise than Grand Theft Auto. And that's just because the timing for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, if you think about Saints Row, what, the fourth? Or four, or whatever the hell it was called. The beginning mission is you scaling a launched rocket into space while listening to I Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith.
Yeah.
And everybody's basically telling you their last wishes, like, because they think he's going to die.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff fit the exact moment. You didn't think it would at the time, and then it happened, and I was like, this is the greatest thing ever!
So you can use licensed music to be very fitting in the game.
Yeah.
Like I said, the reason why we're kind of bashing a rock star for this one is because it's just, you just choose the soundtrack to your life, and yeah, it doesn't really fit your gameplay, what's going on and everything.
Yeah, like, the best thing, in my opinion, at Saints Row when it comes to music is their Saints Row the Third and Saints Row 4, there's one mission in each one where you're just driving around with Pierce, and a song comes on and you both just start singing.
Saints Row 2 as well.
Really?
Yeah, well, you're driving around with Pierce and you're singing What I Got by Sublime.
That's right.
Yep.
Oh, damn it, I need to go back. I love this song.
Yeah, and you're singing What I Got with Pierce in the car, and they did it because that was the first time you meet Pierce all the way up until the fourth, and it just, they kept it going because everybody loved it.
It was so fitting.
Another good one for licensed material is Borderlands.
Right.
I'm sorry, I never heard of Cage the Elephant before Borderlands, and now I hear it everywhere.
I'm glad for that, because I love Cage the Elephants. Even their newer stuff isn't as terrible, but it was a really good, fitting song for the first one, and even, you know, the second game, the No Place Heroes, whatever the hell it's called, I can't remember the name right now, but even the second one,
Short Change Hero,
thank you, I couldn't remember the name.
By the Heavy.
That one even fit, even just the beginning sequence of it, so.
Oh yeah, agreed.
It's that sort of thing with licensing that if it fits, it works.
Yeah.
And like you said, with Grand Theft Auto, I have Spotify on, so.
You're basically just doing the exact same thing as doing it again.
Just making it to where I listen to music I want to listen to, not what they're forcing me to listen to.
Which Rockstar probably hates, because, you know, they pay for that licensing, and you're just like, I have a free music service.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can listen to it through my headphones while playing that exact same game.
And I'll actually be able to hear it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's step away from the licensed material.
Okay.
Now let's go towards original scores, because this is where game developers can really shine.
Yeah.
If you can make an original score that lasts, that people can recognize almost immediately, then you have done an amazing job. And especially if hearing it can take you back to the first moment it plays. One game I can think in regards to that is the Halo series.
Oh, yeah. The opening score is, every time you hear that, you know exactly what game it is.
And when it first fires up, I think about that first time I'm on Halo and just running across that vast expanse and seeing it off in the distance where you can see the ring.
Yep.
And it takes me back into a moment in gaming that was new and very hitting. Because, I mean, this was a graphical boost.
Yeah.
This was the whole Space Marine thing really didn't kick off. I mean, we had Doom before that, but other than that, you really didn't have a whole lot.
I mean, you think about it, what shooting games did you have beforehand?
PC ones.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and they weren't bad by any means, but Halo brought it to a new area, and not just graphically wise, but because of its soundtrack itself. I mean, I've owned every single soundtrack that they have composed and put out for Halo, because their music is that good.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I loved, like, the Battlefield soundtracks, but at the same time, it's, I'm listening to Flight of the Valkyrie riding around on a freaking moped. I'm not listening to something new that's just kind of digging its way in, and you hear it so many times, and it's just kind of in the background, that it just kind of tries to embed those memories. And that's where soundtracks really prevail, is they tie an emotion or a feeling you got while first playing a game, and literally just kind of burns it into your subconscious. Mm-hmm. So when it happens later on, now I don't think Halo is as great now as it was.
No.
But the very first song takes me back to just running across that green field going, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah. I mean, and I know.
You don't remember anything about the first Halo game, do you?
I never played it.
Oh my.
I have the Halo Master Chief collection. Why don't you ever play it?
I'm not interested in Master Chief. I almost called him what I always call him.
Yeah, yeah. But I know I'm not that old. I mean, I'm only 25. I'm not old at all. But listening to that song and playing the game, even in the remastered edition, it just takes me back when I first played the game. And, you know, younger, didn't really know too much about the video games, but yeah.
Another game that brings you back when you instantly hear the sounds is the Mario games.
We are now prepared for any alien threats.
The Navy launches ships and the Air Force sends jets.
And nothing can withstand the power of our fixed bayonets.
The EDF deploys.
Whenever my phone rings and it's my dispatcher, everybody around me is like, yeah, it's the Mario theme. And it's just, it doesn't matter the age. And I just think it's really fun that a single song can make any person of pretty much any age just remember something like that.
Mario's iconic. He's been around for years. That song alone, just the beginning, and even up until his death when you hear the, you know, just him falling over. It's, everybody knows what is going on. Doesn't matter your age. I mean, even my one-year-old nephew knows what the Mario theme is, and he's only one. So, I mean, everybody knows that song.
My dispatcher was trying to call me while I was in New York last week, and everybody in class just immediately turned around, and I mean, the guy in front of me was probably in his 60s, and he's like, I love that game! And I'm just like, that's just weird.
That is kind of weird.
And I literally let it ring for less than 2 seconds, and everybody picked up on it. I thought at first that it was just because my phone went off in the middle of a class.
That's what my first response would be.
But I had like 5 people ask me about it. Like later on, was that the Mario theme? Yes, that was the Mario theme.
I would have gotten smart and just been like, no, it's from that other game.
The one that's kind of like Mario, but it's not Mario.
It's from that one song
Italian character. Plumber Simulator.
Yeah, Italian Plumber Simulator 2017.
Still doing better than Call of Duty.
It's from Euro Fishing 18.
Oh yeah, this is from rugby. Anyways.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Mario theme is a timeless classic.
I would agree with that.
Everybody
knows
it.
As much as I hate Mario, and I only know the first 10 seconds of the song, and then the death music.
I mean, that's all you need to know about the song. The second someone hears that, they're immediately like, oh, Mario? Where?
No, that's all Josh knows, because that's how long it takes him to die in Mario. Well, yeah. I've played Mario with him. It's pretty accurate.
Yeah, it's
we need to play
accurate.
Mario again.
I'm pretty sure it's downstairs.
There you go.
We'll have to bust that out one night for drinking.
Let's do it.
Every time you die, take a shot. Josh is just going to be a bubble this whole time, so I don't know how well that's going to work.
Well, I mean, technically, if I'm in a bubble and you guys die, I die too.
Fair enough. But yeah, it's instantly a classic. Everybody knows the song. It's amazing.
Agreed.
It is a very good song.
Not too much of the Mario front other than the beginning one, I would say.
I think the biggest thing in regards to Mario is the fact that the song really hasn't evolved a whole hell of a lot.
It doesn't need to.
Exactly. I mean, it was that powerful, even on an 8-bit system with a freaking MIDI file, that it can still be done with just a little slight tweaking for the generation. So that's it.
Yeah. And it's not even just the opening music for Mario or when you start it. It's, I mean, the castle. When you go inside the castles, that's by itself. Yeah.
So, funny story. True story. I've never made it to a castle.
I'm not surprised.
I would believe that.
You always die.
Yeah, that's, I mean, the entire soundtrack for Mario, they really did it well. And the fact that it stuck around, what, Mario turned, what was it, 20? A couple years ago?
Oh, pretty sure it's older than that.
Yeah, it's older.
Okay.
Final Fantasy is celebrating its 30th anniversary. So.
Okay, then Mario is definitely older than that, yeah. So, I mean, a game that is that old, and still, even to a younger generation, goes with them, because they keep pushing out Mario games. And we've talked about it before, just let a series die. I gotta say, I will not say Mario needs to die. It needs to keep going, because it was, I would say, the pinnacle of video gaming on consoles when it started.
I had, growing up, a little Mario watch game system thing,
mm-hmm.
and I played that till the battery died like 5 times.
Oh yeah.
And it was just a little tiny like 2-button, just kind of press it while you're automatically running through and jumping, and it was really fun. We're talking like old school, like Tiger Direct stuff here, Josh. I'm sorry.
The hell's Tiger Direct?
Exactly. Damn it.
You're talking about like that one website?
What website?
Tiger Direct.
They used to make little tiny game console things.
Right.
They were single little games.
Right.
Kind of like that hand football thing.
Yes! That was Tiger Direct.
That's made up too.
He's making stuff up. Well, your age is showing.
Okay, next one, please. Somebody, next one, please.
Okay. We're actually going to be talking about Mass Effect here.
Okay, I love Mass Effect. I really do.
Same.
But I'm not a huge fan of the music. You don't really notice that it's there 90% of the time, and I understand that it's a very well-loved series, and a lot of people stand by the soundtrack, and it puts me asleep.
I'm not one of those people that stand by it, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with the soundtrack. It's a space opera, obviously. It's not that great. I play Mass Effect for the story mode. I play it for the gameplay. I do not play it for the soundtrack.
You play it for dialogue. You play it for sound effects. You do not play it for music.
Yep.
The only music I ever remember from Mass Effect is when you're on the Normandy, you'll hear like one note playing, and it'll continually like swell up or swell back down.
The only thing I remember in regards to the Normandy was hearing the engine.
Yeah.
Like, I remember hearing just one note, and then it continually swelling louder or quieter, depending upon what you're doing. That's all I remember of the music.
But, I don't understand why so many people will back the soundtrack on it. I mean, this thing was up for an award at one point.
Yep.
And I really didn't think it was that great. I mean, it wasn't like some of the other ones on this list, where it's really pounds into your brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't stick there, which is probably the hardest part of it, is it, you get the music, you hear it, you're like, oh, there is music to Mass Effect. Oh, well.
Yeah, I mean, other than some key moments where, like, say, Mass Effect 2, when you go to that planet that's basically overrun by criminals to get Garrus. It's the only time I really remember music, when the jet came up and started firing machine guns and you could no longer hear the music.
Mm-hmm. His name was Archangel?
Archangel.
And I wanted to kill him.
You wanted to kill him because he was Garrus.
It was before I knew he was Garrus. He just looked like Garrus, so I wanted to kill him.
Well, of course.
You just hated the Turians in general, didn't you?
No, just Garrus.
Just Garrus.
All right, well, yeah, I can't defend the Mass Effect soundtrack at all.
I wouldn't even try.
I wouldn't either. There's not really much you can say about it. There's a couple of other games out there that, you know, they have soundtracks, but you're not really sure that there was a full soundtrack. Like, one that I stumbled into was Overwatch.
There was music in Overwatch? Aside from the freaking load screen?
Aside from the load screen, there wasn't. But, yeah, it's... I can't remember any other music.
Yeah, I don't understand how that can be considered great music. Like, some of this was found from lists of suggestions of people made, and Overwatch was one of them. And I just don't agree.
We the EDF are fighting giant bugs from space.
We're going underground to find their path we must retrace.
To find their giant nest and crush the queen's carapace.
The EDF deploys.
Yeah, I don't really understand anything in regards to Overwatch as a general form of music. It just doesn't make any fucking sense to me.
Like, the only music I know of in the game is at the title screen, which is generic title screen music.
Yeah, I mean, Blizzard has a lot, like, World of Warcraft had a lot of good music.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And StarCraft had some really good music. Overwatch, I think this is the fanboy reach out in regards to it, because all of their other stuff, like Diablo had decent music.
Yeah.
So I think this is a reach out, and people just don't understand that it's just not there.
How a Blizzard game cannot have decent music. I mean, like you said, the title screen is very generic. I mean, it was designed for Overwatch, but it is generic music.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have done something more with it.
Yeah, the only thing I think that they're referring to as Overwatch's soundtrack would be the sound, like the music that they made in-house for Lucio's character.
Okay.
Like, I put air quotes there because Lucio made it or whatever.
Okay. I'm really hoping that eventually they actually do a skit for Lucio.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, he's in a concert and starts fighting people. That would be awesome.
That would be fantastic.
That would be amazing.
And D.Va's in the front row.
Yeah.
Oh, she would be. Without a doubt.
With Tracer.
The best part, the only thing that's great in regards to Overwatch is all the fan music. Have people that make fan songs. You have people that make music literally from the gunshots or from ability sounds. And they sound amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The last one I could think of is that Reinhardt one I just shared with Ryan not
too long ago. Oh, yeah, he shared an awesome Reinhardt one, which is literally just his voice lines making a song.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome, and I know I've sent you a couple, like, there's a guy named Masterlock. He makes actual music, but with the people, so, like, Heathens by, what the hell is their name? 21 Pilots. He redid it, but instead of the Heathen song, it was Reapin'.
And he redid Justin Timberlake's...
Can't Stop the Healing. So, I mean, that's the type of stuff that I could only think about when it comes to it, because I've listened to those songs probably 100 times a piece, because they're good.
And my favorite one is probably the Reaper, Die, Die, Die.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite ones. I really do like Can't Stop the Healing. I did listen to a song that was literally just Lucio, and it was sound bits from that. And I think I'll have to post that on our Facebook page if I can find it again, because it was really good and well done. And it was just using in-game sounds with voice lyrics.
Yeah.
And even the guy who played Lucio commented on the goddamn post on YouTube, saying he was honored that his character was done that way. Because he was so happy that his character, whose life involves around music, was put to music.
Yeah, and there's a couple of videos out there that was Overwatch's Master Sound. It's basically everyone's weapon being fired, coming together. I'll post that video on our Facebook page as well. But it's literally just their weapons firing off, making a beat.
So you can
and
find,
it's freaking awesome.
You can find all that if you search Pwn Stars Podcast on Facebook.
Wait,
we have one of those?
Yes, we have one of those.
But like I said before, there's just not enough to the actual physical game, which is surprising from a Blizzard game, to warrant it being a good soundtrack.
Agreed. What else we got?
Well, we have Metal Gear, which would entitle The Rising and Metal Gear Solid. all that fun stuff.
This would be you, Josh.
This would be me. I won't talk very long because people find it boring when I talk about Metal Gear for hours on end. But with Rising, the soundtrack was phenomenal. You played as Raiden as a cyborg ninja, so you felt like a badass version of Gray Fox from Metal Gear Solid, which, yes, Raiden's more badass, trust me.
I'm not arguing that. Okay, I just really like Gray Fox, you know that.
Yeah, a lot of people would argue, no, Raiden's a little bitch. False. He fights
There wasn't enough of Gray Fox to be able to say that Gray Fox was better than...
Just to put how much of a badass he is, he kills people with no arms. When he has his arms cut off, he puts his sword in his mouth and kills them.
Yeah.
Well, it's the fact that he rips the spines out of people to get energy.
That's true. And, like, with Metal Gear Rising, the entire soundtrack was pretty much all hard rock and heavy metal, which fit very well with the style of gameplay.
Yeah, I mean, they went from these little ambient orchestra type things in the previous games and gave it a Devil May Cry treatment for a Devil May Cry-like game.
And it worked. For me personally, it worked. I know you couldn't get into it as much.
Ryan, have you noticed that despite the fact we talked about this earlier, trying to set up this list, and originally we weren't going to put Metal Gear on the list?
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that Josh is wearing his Metal Gear shirt?
Yeah. You know, I didn't even come
to I just looked over its side.
The best part about it is I got my keys on me, and it's the Metal Gear Rising lanyard as well.
Which I gave to him.
Which he gave me, yeah, because mine broke. But I will have to agree with you on that one when it came to... Metal Gear Rising was probably the first one I actually played all the way through, and it wasn't nothing like the Metal Gear series, but I liked the way it looked. I played the demo, and it was fun. I would agree, though, that that music that they composed and put into this game fit the playstyle perfectly. It was a fast-paced game. It was fast-paced music.
Oh, yeah.
And the best part about that is a good rock soundtrack is a little bit harder to come by.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Most of these games on the list are orchestrated.
Mm-hmm.
Actually having a rock soundtrack or a rock-ish soundtrack. I mean, we've got a couple more on the list that I can't wait to talk about. But it's just, it's not as easy to do.
No, not at all.
It has to be pretty much an action-based game.
Like, especially if you know, like, the other style of music that Metal Gear Solid was known for.
Like the theme for Snake Eater.
Like, the theme for Snake Eater or in Peace Walker, Heaven's Divide by Donna Burke. It's a very slow, like, somber song because it's close to the end of the game and everything's basically going terribly for you.
Yeah, like, everything in the Metal Gear soundtracks are always kind of sad.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they have a somber tone to them.
I mean, if you look at the game, you understand it. I mean, it's just
like just
how the game works. Oh, yeah. It's a whole somber of a game. I know they used a lot of licensed stuff for Metal Gear
for
five. But I mean, Man even just world. I mean, just look at the way it plays. It's like a somber game the whole way through.
They had a lot of licensed songs, but they also had a couple of non-licensed ones. Like Donna Burke's Heaven Divide was also in there.
Yep.
She made a song specifically for it, Sins of the Father.
Yep.
Which was another phenomenal song that fit the game.
So Donna Burke is your Troy Baker? That's kind of how this is going.
Donna Burke is my Troy Baker of females.
Okay.
If it was between Troy Baker or Donna Burke, Troy Baker all the way.
Okay, let's go ahead and step over to another one.
Okay, we'll get away from that, and we're just going to jump into the Bethesda games.
Okay, so we talked about Fallout earlier.
Yeah.
Fallout was the one that used the licensed music.
Correct.
But there are more games. Dishonored. Dishonored has a very good soundtrack. I understand that you didn't realize there was music in Dishonored, Josh.
Well, I mean, when you're like blinking or warping around whatever the powers are and cutting people in the throat because you got bored of stealth.
Yeah, I mean, I went back and listened to some of the Dishonored music, and it's good music. It's classic Bethesda style. They put the music in there for a reason.
And it's very fitting. And like, for everything you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, the music that's playing in the background at the very beginning of the game, or even the very end.
Yep.
It's just very fitting for the moments that go on, and I think Bethesda does a decent job about that. Like I said, with Fallout, yeah, with licensed music, but it was very fitting for the time frame.
But everybody dressed like, you know, 60s gangsters, and, you know, that's the type of music that they had playing at the time was that type of thing. So
yeah, the world didn't evolve past the Cold War, so it's nearly the music.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what they had to work with, and they put the music in there to fit the scenario.
Yep.
And even, they continued it with Dishonored 2. I didn't really play Dishonored 2, but I did hear some of the soundtrack and watch some people play it. One of my friends came over to play it. The music still fits. It's classic Bethesda style. It puts it in there for a reason. The biggest one, though, Dishonored was good, but there's really not much merit behind it.
Yeah.
The biggest one that everybody knows. Go ahead. Go ahead.
The biggest one that everybody knows, and we promise to never talk about it again, so we're breaking our rule.
It's because it deserves a spot on this list.
This is 100% true. But Skyrim.
Skyrim's original score, fantastic. I won't say it's my favorite, like the game itself.
I wanted to take that from you, just saying its name, by the way.
That's fine, Skyrim. But it's a fantastic soundtrack, just for the game itself.
And it's not just the music, like the Bard songs.
Mm-hmm.
The Bard songs are amazing, and they've been redone so many times by YouTubers. And one of the YouTubers that was very famous for doing it actually passed away, so they made an add-on. Bethesda did.
Yeah.
Players made an add-on where they put her in the game as a bard that will follow you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody got their hands on the Dragonborn thing, and that's everywhere. You can't look on the internet for more than 5 minutes without seeing a new rendition for...
Now, are you talking the Dragonborn theme?
Dovahkiin.
Okay, you're not talking the Dragonborn comes.
No, Dovahkiin.
Which is a very dirty title, apparently. Yeah, yeah. Josh is having a hard time right now. A legendary hero will soon lead us to glory.
8 years ago, we sunk the mothership and set us free.
Tomorrow, we will follow this brave soul to victory.
The EDF deploys.
The Bards did an amazing job in regards to this. And I thought that all of the songs were very well written.
Yeah.
Very well written. They felt like a bard in a medieval tavern. I mean, I understand that we don't know what that's actually like, but we've played D&D, so you kind of understand that feel.
Yeah, you kind of just get it after so long.
Yeah, I mean, and it's any tavern that you go to in there. There could be the ones that are just fucking sitting in a rock off by itself in Timbuktu in the, you know, world of Skyrim. There's still a bard in there singing songs about the Dovahkiin.
And somebody is singing Ragnar the Red.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
You yep. forgot about Ragnar?
I forgot about Ragnar.
I think it's Ragnar, right?
I do believe so.
Yeah.
Okay. It's been a little bit since I played Skyrim.
Yep. And we said we're not going to talk about it again, but it definitely deserved a place here because of its original score.
It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, like I said, it deserved its spot on this list. We'll break the rule. Like, if we were talking about the best Bethesda games, we couldn't get away with not mentioning Skyrim.
Unfortunately.
So when it deserves a spot, we're gonna bring it back on. We try to rein in Ryan because of his obsession.
It's not an obsession.
It's an unhealthy obsession.
It's an unhealthy obsession.
You've been playing it more than me. I don't want to hear it from you. I don't even care if it's just to get you to sleep.
I play it because at night it takes little to no effort at all to pay attention to it. So it's a good game to
watch. There you go. And that's exactly why I like the game. If I had a shitty day and I just want to play a game, that's when I go for. I haven't played it in a while because I want to try to branch out and play other stuff because you guys make fun of me for not playing stuff. So I'm trying to.
Yeah. When you sent some of the games that were on this list that you wanted to mention, I'm just like, has he even played some of these?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm trying to branch out and, you know, learn more games than what I'm playing, you know, there for the longest time. Like I've told you, all I played was Call of Duty. So when you guys were sitting here playing fucking Tales and Persona and stuff like that, I was playing Call of Duty.
Yeah, you need to branch out for better games. So,
yeah, I would say so.
So that's just like my unwind and relax game.
All right, what else we got?
Well, we've got Assassin's Creed 4.
Which fits perfect because, you know, you got sea shanties and bards from Skyrim.
Exactly. That's why we put them side by side.
It's pretty awesome because the sea shanties were the main reason I went out to sea all the time.
Yeah, I would spend probably a good couple of minutes, like, just deciding what sea shanty I wanted to listen to while I was traveling around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and that says a lot, because it's like, I don't even give a crap about the main music of the game.
Which it was good.
I just want to listen to Captain Kidd.
Yeah, yeah. No joke.
It was good music for the game itself, but I will give Ubisoft this. Those sea shanties were phenomenal, just listening to them go.
Yeah, I really wish that... that made it over into more games.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the Bards,
mm-hmm.
they did an amazing job. And you don't get a whole lot of original vocal range. I understand the sea shanties aren't original.
Right.
Like, I've heard Captain Kidd before from a band called Great Big Sea. Probably never heard of them.
I don't think so.
Right?
I probably have, just don't remember.
Oh, they also have a song called Donkey Riding, so...
What the fuck? Okay.
I mean, probably not the greatest example, but they do a rendition of Captain Kidd. So I'd heard it before, but it's a lot different not hearing it with, like, the music in the background. Just sailors just having fun while working on a ship.
Yeah.
They did a very good job of making it realize that they're just doing their job while just trying to enjoy themselves well, past the time.
And I would say that they definitely enjoyed the time they spent with them.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal addition, and I was really sad when they started going more towards like the steampunk era and got away from that type of thing, because I would have loved another, you know, sea battle type game like Assassin's Creed 4, maybe a spinoff of 4, kind of like they do with every other Assassin's Creed except this one.
That was called Rogue.
Well, Rogue wasn't terrible, but I wanted more of a...
You wanted more C.J. Annie
story. Yeah, I wanted more I wanted more of a, like, a new release, but of the same time frame. Okay. Because I would have rather had more of the sea battles, because that's honestly what brought me over to Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. I wasn't too sure, and then the sea battles showed up, and I was like, fuck yes, this game is mine.
I probably spent more time doing sea battles than anything else in that game.
Oh, yeah.
I hated the sea battles because of that. It took me away from the game itself.
Yeah, that was called Assassin's Creed Rogue, what you were asking for.
No, because it started on the Vita. I'm talking a full-scale...
It was on the PS3, bro.
After, it was on the Vita first.
No, yes. it was a dual release. And when it came to games on the PS3 and the Vita, the hardware, even for a handheld, was comparable to the point where, if you were talking PSP.
You're thinking Liberation.
Liberation is what, that came out at the same time as 4. Yeah. But on the Vita. That's what I'm thinking of. Rogue was the one that wasn't on the new consoles.
It came out on PS3 when Unity came out on the new consoles.
See, I didn't have any of the old consoles, so I didn't play it.
Telling me.
Yeah, he got rid of his PS3, this bitch. Remember?
Well, I mean, it's still not what I'm looking for.
Okay, what else we got? Well, oh, did anybody else notice that we didn't even talk about the music, just the sea shanties?
I talked about the music a little bit, but
I didn't really care for the music.
I didn't care for the music. It was just the sea shanties.
It's not like I didn't like the music. It was just the sea shanties were more memorable, and you could tell the more work was put towards that.
I mean, that's what we're going for with these games we're talking about, is what was memorable to you. Like, the sea shanties? Fuck yeah. The actual score? Eh.
Just Assassin's Creed's music in general. Eh.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I'm going to say this right now, that Ubisoft does not do a great job on the music end.
No.
Like, I thought Watch Dogs music was great.
But it was all licensed.
And it was all not a lot of well-known licensed either.
Which... Like, I enjoy games like that because I find a lot of new stuff to listen to.
Agreed.
But at the same time, it's only about half of the music in there that I enjoy, as opposed to a vast majority.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that was the thing with it, because when we were playing Watch Dogs 2, I'm sitting there searching through the songs, and granted, it's all licensed, but I'm like, who the fuck is this? Who is this? Who is this? It took like 16 tries where I finally found a song that I knew. And I understand they're trying to broaden people's horizons, but if we're going to spend the money on licensing, get more songs that people know, then segue in the...
I think that's because Rockstar kind of has commodity on the more name brand stuff.
Yeah.
So when it comes to people implementing real music in for like radios or whatnot, I think it's better to use less well-known.
Yeah.
Because look what Borderlands did to Cage the Elephant.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have to pay as much, but that gives artists a big boost. I mean, like, when you look at a lot of movie soundtracks, you only probably recognize a couple songs on the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot are... These people are literally paid to just listen to music and find something, not necessarily something completely out there, but something to try to rejuvenate.
And I get that 100%, but there's something that attacks your argument with that one. What was Cage the Elephant? It was the main title song. That's why people knew it. People don't give a shit about the song that's in the game.
Yeah, but I guarantee you a bunch of people's Spotify list changed after that game.
Well, that's probably true, but I can tell you right now that if Cage the Elephants was just a game that was put in there and it wasn't theme, I probably wouldn't have listened to him, and I can probably say that for a bunch of people.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because it was the theme is the reason why it took off as well as it did. Not just a song that was put in.
How about you say the name of the song instead of the band?
Yeah.
Well, because I want to keep getting them make more music. Fuck, does the song.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows the song. Yeah. Advertise the band.
Okay, what's the name of the song?
No Rest for the Wicked.
Wrong.
Ain't No Rest
for
the Wicked.
There you go, that's better.
Son of a bitch.
This bitch.
This little bastard. Anyways.
Okay, what's next? What we got?
Well, after Assassin's Creed, I know we talked about Bethesda, but this one deserves a spot of its own. We're going to be talking about Doom.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We're going to just declare this ID Software because this is their baby. They're still alive.
Yeah.
It's just they...
They needed a publisher.
They needed help from Bethesda.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't exactly well known for releasing good stuff recently. So, yeah, we're going to give it its own spot. Plus, it won, like, 9 freaking awards, so...
I mean, I didn't play the game, but, I'll go, like, what I said with Borderlands. Just the commercials, they had the music on it, which were in the actual game. It sounded like it had a good soundtrack.
It had a good soundtrack.
So, it had a pretty good soundtrack.
I'm just waiting for it to go on sale. Not that the game is bad or anything, but the game's oldish now, that I would just rather get it on sale instead of buying the full
game. You have to get it, because the multiplayer is insanely fun.
That's what I've heard by multiple people.
I mean, insanely fun. It had a great single player, but the multiplayer was fun.
Whether you do the multiplayer or the all of the created modes that they have.
The created modes are amazing. They're basically little mini games for the most part.
I would like to go and actually play it.
but like the music itself.
I think I bought it when it was $10. So
yeah, what was that? Like a Black Friday sale?
No, it was just a flash sale one day, and I picked it up. I think it was a Bethesda sale.
The Bethesda sales. Yeah, I need to watch out for one of those because it the game itself looked really, really fun. The soundtrack just sounds amazing for what it was. And again, we go back to Bethesda knows how to put that stuff in there. I mean, granted, it was id Software, but Bethesda had a say in what it can and cannot do, at least for the most part.
Yeah, Bethesda tries to do a slight bit of quality control after all.
Our forces have now dwindled. We're retreating to regroup.
The enemy is multiplied and formed a massive group.
We better beat these bugs before we all turn into soup.
The EDF deploys.
Yeah, Doom was actually amazing. And the fact that I managed to pick it up for a Bethesda flash sale was, I didn't regret my purchase at all. I thought I was going to, especially because it's a huge fucking download.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But other than that, I mean, it was phenomenal.
Well, the music was just, like, amazing for the game.
It did a very good job in regards to action and somber.
Like, it was a bunch of heavy metal for kicking the shit out of demons.
And then kind of creepy-ish while you're wandering around trying to figure out what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's just, every single sound and music bit in that game was just perfect.
All right, what we got next?
After Doom, let's go ahead and talk about my literal all-time favorite game, like the series of all time, Persona.
Oh, Persona's already on the list?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is one of those games I was referring to when I said I can't wait to talk about it, about the rock soundtrack. Persona 4 did a very good job about having a combination like rock electronica mix. And this is a game where half the songs have vocals. I mean, you're talking the bards and the sea shanties into rock music while you're battling.
I've never played a Persona, but other than the arena, which I don't think counts. I want to actually play the Persona game.
Well, some of the music was in there.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean, and you just played a little bit for it before we started the podcast, just so I could hear what it sounded like, and it actually made me want to play the actual games because of how awesome the soundtrack was. Josh was, this is the dungeon theme. I was like,
yeah,
this is what you hear while you're battling shit? This is amazing.
No, that's what you hear
while that's the wandering around.
Just wandering around. See, yeah. That's even better.
It's... I never got sick of Backside of the TV.
Nope.
I never got sick of Reach Out to the Truth. I never got sick of I'll Face Myself or Time to Make History. I mean, that's four freaking songs out of like 40 where I'm just... I still listen. Two of them are my fucking ringtones.
And I personally think the Persona 3 music was even better. It
I unfortunately
more...
never got a chance to play 3. I played 2 and 4.
Like, it had a hip-hop emphasis almost, and it sounded really cool, and I don't like that style of music, but it was really, really good.
Well, like, if you listen to our Dead Rising review, you'll understand that I kind of hate slow jazz, but
everybody
like
does.
5 kind of did like this weird jazz electronica rock mix up, and I played some of it for Ryan earlier just because he never heard it, and it's really, really good, and I'm looking forward to it. Persona is very, very spot on in regards to music. That seems to be like a huge emphasis for it, and I'm wondering if that's because it's teenagers.
I have a feeling it is, but at the same time, when it comes down to it, the Persona is basically what they are trying to get you to see, which is the characters themselves, like inside and how they feel and act.
Yeah, it's embodiment of their emotions.
And the music, without good music, you wouldn't understand the characters that well.
Yeah, that goes to the whole video games as an art form thing. I mean, you have to understand those emotions.
Yeah.
And the music likes to bring that out. I mean, that's kind of what music is supposed to do. It's supposed to make you feel something.
And
so,
and Persona's an RPG. So, I mean, RPGs are always comprised of multiple pieces. The gameplay, the graphical design, and then I would say music. Like you said, it's an art form.
Yeah, the music is always a big thing for an RPG.
Yeah, because you're wandering around for hours and hours. You want to listen to something that you're not going to want to bash your brains in
so,
listening.
There's this theory that a lot of people have that when you need to focus on something, listen to video game music because it's supposed to keep you focused.
Yep.
And a lot of games don't do that. Like Mass Effect.
I'd fall asleep, yeah.
Even Halo. I really like the soundtrack, but it doesn't get me to focus. The main theme can get me to focus. It can get me pumped up. But other than that, really not a whole lot. RPGs, for the most part, like I'll listen to, maybe we'll talk about that one later, but there's a specific RPG song that I listen to when I need to get really pumped up for something to focus. So, yeah, RPGs are a little different on that end.
Well, yeah, but I mean, for the most part, they want you to be able to enjoy your time playing.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to pump 70 hours into a game,
you're going to want to listen to something that you're not going to want to gouge your ears off of your face.
Yeah, that's
and
very true.
They have to be very good about having it in short bursts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, a battle might last you 30 seconds, so you can have a shorter, like, more upbeat. And then for a boss battle, it could take you quite a while. So you have to have something that's going to keep you focused on that. And I'm sorry, I will agree with Ryan on this one. The music is a really big factor for an RPG.
Mm-hmm.
The music is one of the biggest factors.
I mean, that's one of the biggest things with, even one of the other topics we're talking about later, the Final Fantasies. Their music, just playing 14, other than Snowcloak.
You mean the lullaby?
The lullaby, yeah. I mean, I can focus really well when I start hearing all the music and stuff. And, like, I don't play many RPGs. I played a couple of them. I played a few. The music is always what keeps me going.
Agreed. So, what are we going next? Josh, Ryan, you guys have the lists in front of you.
Next, we've got... Ba-ba-da-ba!
Guile's Theme.
Ba-da-ba. Wait, no, that's Price is Right.
That was Price is Right that you were doing?
I stopped myself early. Otherwise, I would have gone on all day with it.
Oh, God, Guile's Theme. So, in case you don't have the internet... Which, how the hell are you listening to us? People love to put the Guile Theme to everything. They literally say it is the perfect theme song for everything. I have seen it put to people making pizza, for crying out loud. And I laugh hysterically just because it's the Guile Theme being put to somebody tossing up pizza dough. But
that sounds kind of awesome, actually.
It was. But it was the fact that people declare this basically as, like, the greatest theme ever.
Yeah.
And I would not go that far.
You got a better theme?
Yeah, anything from Persona.
I mean, I guess you're not wrong on that one.
Yeah, you could probably put the entire Persona soundtrack to anything in life, but I think Guile's Theme fits better as a whole than a full soundtrack, which is really weird because I don't like to give in to the internet hype. But like I said, Guile's Theme to somebody making pizza made the video awesome, and I was literally watching a dude make a pizza.
I mean, that must have been just... trying to be boring in its own, but with the Guile Theme?
Yes! The Guile and then they did some, like, speed up on it, and they did, like, some slow-mo at random parts, and it was really weird that somebody went through the... it wasn't the person making the pizza that made the video. It was somebody just chose a video and said, I'm gonna put this to Guile's Theme just to try to prove a point that this doesn't work, and it worked.
And it worked.
That's unfortunate. Like, back before I had internet or anything like that, I was playing Street Fighter when I first heard Guile's Theme, and it immediately just, like, struck me, and I've known it ever since. So I got it from the source.
Yeah, so it got you pumped up.
Oh, yeah. Which, it worked every time.
Fighting games try to do stuff like that. 90% of the time it misses.
It doesn't always work.
So, yeah, freaking Guile.
Yeah, I hate him as a character. I like his theme.
I just want to know what hair product he has.
Nair for men.
I don't think so.
The less you wear, the more you need Nair. I'm pretty sure that's how the theme song goes for Nair, so...
Yeah.
It would take his hair off. is what I'm understanding.
I want to know what hair product Guile is using, not Doll Stim.
Oh, see, I get too confused. My bad.
He's using Super Moose.
Super Moose! Brought to you by Hair Club for Men.
Hair Club for Men?
Hair Club for Men.
Really?
Yeah,
it's a real thing.
He totally needs that.
I mean, he probably does.
It's all hair plugs. That's why it's fake hair. That's why it stays up.
That's why it stays up, because it never moves.
That makes so much sense now.
His hair's just plastic.
He's an army man, Mom.
He's a Barbie girl.
Okay.
In a Barbie world.
Well,
what we got next?
Next, we've got Zelda.
Ooh.
The army and the navy have been all but knocked about.
The scouts, the rangers, the air divers have nearly been wiped out.
But the brave infantry all will still stubbornly hold out.
The EDF deploys.
Zelda is one that you could go on for a while about? Legend of Zelda?
Yeah, we could probably do an entire episode on just the soundtrack to Zelda.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. It's not complex in any way, but it is a fantastic soundtrack to go with the game. It's one of those where you said it fits the situation.
And the thing is that it branches out simply beyond video games.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite renditions, and this is going to sound really weird because my kid loves her, Lindsay Sterling.
I don't know who that is.
Mm-hmm. I know who Lindsay Sterling is.
She does an amazing, like, Zelda medley, and I just randomly looked who it was because Alex was like, I like this person. Okay, you're a 12-year-old girl. It's not a boy band. I'll look it up.
Yeah.
But I like violin music, so I guess it was kind of fitting there.
She also redid the Halo theme.
That one, I think I skipped.
I would have, but it was good. It was good.
But you've got, like, Video Games Live. It's an orchestra group that does video game music.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their favorite things to open with is their Zelda Overture. And it's just absolutely amazing. It's the main thing. It's got the Song of Storms, Song of Time. It's got all sorts of things mixed in there. And they made it seamless throughout the whole thing. And it's just a full-blown orchestra compared to just the ocarina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which would make it even better off listening to than just the ocarina itself. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, we could keep going on about it, but I want to not keep... keep going on about the Legend of Zelda.
When it comes to Zelda, the only memorable songs I have are Soraya's Song, which is The Lost Woods. Uh-huh. I've learned how to play that on my guitar. And in Twilight Princess, when you first leave the Kakarika Village or whatever the hell you want to call it, and then you get through the first dungeon, you go to Hyrule Field for the first time. When the field music first kicks in, it's a lot heavier version of it. And that one just hit me as soon as I got there. I was like, wow, this is amazing.
My favorite, I think, is the Song of Storms.
Yeah,
and I don't know why. Okay, we need to step away from
Zelda.
Yeah,
yeah. Going on Zelda.
What we got?
Mega Man.
Mega Man, yeah.
Some of the most memorable levels ever. Mostly because you spent 2,000 hours trying to beat a level because Mega Man was so fucking hard.
You spent 2,000 hours trying to get through the first screen of a level to realize that there's more to do.
But like the
But
like the actual themes, they held up while you were spending all that freaking time. And a lot of them did a very good job of making you very determined.
Yeah.
Some of them were, you wanted to be very determined because you wanted to quit listening to the goddamn song.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I think they did an amazing job there. And like, it, you can look up on YouTube, you can find an electric guitar cover of pretty much every song from any Mega Man game.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's there.
And they sound amazing.
I will give Mega Man that. It, like I said, it gives you the determination. It goes back to what I said with RPGs for the most part, is you're listening to this game forever because Mega Man was insanely difficult.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to make an insanely hard platformer, you got to keep people hooked.
You got to keep people in with the sound, and that is exactly what they were trying to do. Now, like you said, some of the songs were kind of stinkers, but for the most part, a good majority of it was good.
I mean, there are how many? 8 levels besides Wily's stage?
Yeah.
So, I would say at least 6 were good in almost every game.
Mm-hmm.
So,
at least.
Okay, we need to try to get through this a little bit quicker. What we got next? Mega Man's awesome. Next.
Castlevania.
Next is Castlevania.
Castlevania?
No, I never played Castlevania.
Oh, that was so cool.
I played the demo for the one that was coming out on the 360, making
Lords
its return.
Of the Shadow.
Lords of the Shadow.
Something like that.
Lord of Shadows.
Lord of Shadows, whatever.
The one about Dracula.
Yeah. Yep.
It looked fun. I wanted to play it. Couldn't afford it, so I didn't.
I've never played that one.
Castlevania is the epitome of we're going to put rock music in a game.
Yep.
And they did an amazing job. At the time, it was not something that you were expecting. And I still love the themes to this day.
Oh, yeah.
They're very hard-hitting.
I played the very first Castlevania. I played that a couple times. The only one I've played a lot of is Symphony of the Night.
Oh, God. The most amazing Castlevania game.
Yes.
It is the most player-renowned one. I don't know if it's the greatest sale one. I'd have to look it up. I would assume so, because every person I know that likes Castlevania will flat out say that is their favorite. And this is not like a Final Fantasy argument, like, which is your favorite Final Fantasy? Where you have like a bunch of bandwagon people that are like, it's 7. No, it's almost every single person will say Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
Like 11 out of 10 people will say Symphony of the Night.
11 out of 10, some more people than normal.
Exactly.
They have great soundtracks. I've listened to the music, haven't really played it. But, I mean, it was good. It was good.
Agreed.
So, we got that going. What would be the next one, Josh?
The next one, I don't remember any music to it at all, but Tetris.
You don't remember Tetris?
I remember the game. I sucked at it, but I don't remember any
music. That would be why. It required a brain to play Tetris.
I don't know.
2 days ago, my brother died. Next day, my lover fell.
Today, most everyone was killed. On that, we must not dwell.
But we will never leave the field, and we'll never say farewell.
The EDF deploys.
Tetris was amazing. Not the game.
Right.
The game was for the time.
Right.
You have to admit, Tetris was
No, I agree, 100%. I still play Tetris on my phone, so...
Yeah, but the music is pretty timeless, and it's really weird hearing like an orchestrated version of it.
Yeah.
There's really not a whole lot we could talk about
when it comes to Tetris.
No, it had that classic retro arcade sound, which, I mean, you look back on Donkey Kong, you look back with Tetris, you get that arcade feeling that, you know, you walk into those arcades, everything's going off, you hear the sounds, and that's what Tetris did for you.
It was a lot like listening to the Pac-Man theme.
Yeah, it's a nostalgic
Or listening to a Pac-Man game.
Mm-hmm.
When really it comes thing. To Tetris, the only thing I remember is Tetris Attack. On the Super Nintendo, that plays fun. Yoshi.
Did you ever play the, what was it, Tetris Worlds, the 3D one?
No.
Oh, that was fucking weird.
That was
weird.
A pain in the ass, yeah. But it was fun.
I think that was Dreamcast.
Yep.
Yeah. See, I didn't have one of those.
The only really cool thing, off topic, the only really cool thing about the Dreamcast was plugging in the memory cartridge if you're playing like Soul Calibur, because you could see your character like dancing around on your controller. Yep.
The memory cartridge part was awesome.
That and Shenmue, that's about it.
Never got a chance to play Shenmue.
Never played it.
Properly, unfortunately. What? Don't look at me like that.
Hopefully they'll do some sort of like remaster thing when the second one finally comes out.
Third one was on Xbox.
Sorry. Okay.
It wasn't.
What we got next?
We have Shadow of the Colossus.
Now, a lot of people would like to argue this one because... There's like no music to Shadow of the Colossus.
I remember none, and I play that game quite a bit.
It's dead silence as you play the game, and that's just because you're wandering around those fields. But once you get near Colossus.
I mean, it would still technically be a Colossus, because you're talking about one when you get near a Colossus.
Well, to refrain to all of them as a group. You have that slow, like, orchestra coming in, but almost immediately when you attach, unless it takes forever for you to attach, to the Colossus, it, like, goes into massive battle music, and it's unique for each one.
Yeah. Every Colossus has the different one, so it's like a different experience every time you try to take one down. They're all different shapes and sizes and everything for the Colossus themselves. It would just seem fitting that they would add different music for everyone individually.
Yeah, it's Shadow Colossus was a really good soundtrack solely for... It was the dead silence that did it. And if there was like a real theme music or something in between, I don't think it would have made it on this list. But it was just the impact that those songs had the moment you got into a fight.
Yeah,
is why I said Shadow of the Colossus has to be on this list.
I mean, it makes sense to me.
I mean, that's one of my favorite soundtracks of all time, just because, like, if you spend too much time fighting one and you hear that song, like, years down the road, like, if you spent 25 minutes just trying to fight one Colossus, or in some cases, a few hours.
That's very true.
I mean, you have that specific memory for that specific fight.
Yeah.
Like, there's one for, it was like a worm thing, and it was like going through the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I can't listen to that song because I get pissed off every time it's on because I hated that Colossus so bad.
I don't even know what one he's talking about.
I don't know which one he's talking about either, but I...
You're like in a weird cave thing. Like a dune worm thing.
I always got to the same spot. Couldn't get past it. That I would get pissed off, infuriated. I'd have to stop.
It was probably the next one.
Most likely.
Well, that's usually how it works.
Agreed. So, we're going to talk about the biggie now.
The biggie?
The one we've all been looking forward to. The one that literally seems to make its way in almost every one of our podcasts.
Well, no. One of the series ends up in all of the podcasts. Although I do have a feeling that if I went through all the episodes, I might have mentioned it at least once in every episode.
Yeah.
That's not a review.
Well, I mean, it's because it's such a big game. It's a game series.
Not just the series, the publisher.
Yeah, that you could literally place it with everyone.
Josh, go ahead and steal my thunder and say the name.
Today I saw the last one of my comrades hit the dirt.
Everyone has told me that at least death will not hurt.
Everyone is dead, so now there's no one to alert.
The EDF deploys.
Square Enix.
Oh god, it's fucking Square Enix. Okay, so Square Enix is the king of soundtracks.
Hands down.
There's no denying this. Now, this is not just us saying Final Fantasy.
No.
Like, almost everything. Not everything's gold, but Square does a lot of stuff. But this falls under the concept that Ryan brought up earlier. Soundtracks are important to RPGs, and what does Square focus mostly on?
Action adventure shooters.
What?
He's reading for a loop right there.
Tomb Raider, Deus Ex. Hang on, I'll think of another one.
He's not wrong, though.
He's not wrong, no. But what is their bread and butter?
No, the Final Fantasy series. Let's be real here.
Final Fantasy, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and all their other games, you know, they just have nice soundtracks.
Yeah.
That's all it is to them. I mean...
Deus Ex has a good soundtrack. Tomb Raider has an amazing soundtrack. Like, everything was fitting in Tomb Raider.
Like, the new Hitman.
I couldn't tell you
that. Hitman has decent soundtrack, yeah. Hitman,
Absolution?
Absolution.
I spent so many hours doing one level that the song that played is now immediately stuck in my head, and I kept replaying the level because I was in a samurai suit with a katana cutting people in half, basically.
Yeah,
okay then.
I was making it my challenge to sneak up and kill everybody without being noticed. I did that about 5 hours.
As a samurai.
As a samurai.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, but I think we need to talk about Final Fantasy.
That's clearly the number one that they're talking about.
Name one good song.
One good song?
Titan's theme.
I've never heard of it.
Don't be afraid.
Don't lie.
Final Fantasy VIII battle music.
Never heard of it. What is this Final Fantasy?
Fantasy? I'm pretty sure your exact words when we started listening to the Titan music was, that's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really know that song well because every time I fight him, I'm dead for 90%.
Yeah, he's not actually doing anything.
You actually have attention to pay attention to the music because you're dead.
Yeah, pretty much.
Almost every theme
for
the summons in Final Fantasy XIV. But it's not just Final Fantasy XIV.
Like, we could talk about 14 for hours about the music.
Yeah. Except for Snow Globe. Fuck Snow Globe.
Well, I mean, if
you need to go to sleep, listen to Snow Globe.
Yeah. It was a really weird song.
It was a lullaby. It really felt like it. Like, it was trying to put you asleep while you were being affected by hypothermia. Oh. That's pretty much what it was. But, I mean, like I said, Don't Be Afraid is one of my favorite songs. That's the theme music for Final Fantasy VIII.
Okay.
You were at my wedding.
Yep.
The battle music that everybody walked into, all the groomsmen and everything, and then the fanfare when me and Sarah walked in, that was Final Fantasy VIII.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody knows that fanfare.
Yeah, everybody.
every single person. It only gets slight changes between renditions.
Like the trumpet soundings, it's the same through everything, but it's the music that follows afterwards that changes per title.
This is the series that for when I said that I have a specific song that I listen to get pumped up when I need to focus on something. Like, I listen to it before every single meeting I have with a client because it just gets me, like, in the zone. Is Apocalyptus Noctis from Final Fantasy XIV. You cannot argue that song is amazing,
Josh. You fucking nerd.
You fucking nerd. Why? Because I knew the name?
Yep. When it comes to Final Fantasy, and I'm going to retract what I said earlier about my favorite song, it's still from 10, but it's Spira Unplugged. Whenever you walk into a shop in Final Fantasy X, you hear that acoustic guitar playing just like the same.
I'd have to play. It's been a while since I played.
Yeah, okay, I'd have to go back through it. Yeah.
The reason why I say Apocalyptus Noctis is because I just finished 15 not too long ago.
Yeah.
But Apocalyptus Aquarius, which is a slightly different rendition for when you're fighting Leviathan, you need to Google that. Just the fight with Leviathan. Mm-hmm. So you can listen to it. The moment that music fired up, I went, Josh, oh my god, this is amazing! And it was Final Fantasy being Final Fantasy. Or, in this case, Square Enix being Square Enix.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of things. Like, there's a lot of people who love Terra's theme, or my least favorite, which everybody loves, One Winged Angel. Now, I'll give One Winged Angel credit at why I say Sephiroth is, in fact, a badass. And this is the only credit I'm giving at why I will agree with people that, you know, he's a badass. His name is in his theme song.
Yeah.
I have a counter argument.
Okay.
I still don't think he's a badass for that.
Okay.
I think he's a badass for when you summon him in World of Final Fantasy, and he's in his chibi form doing that entrance with the song playing. That makes me laugh every time I watch it.
Agreed. That would be fan-fucking-tastic.
Yeah, it's a chibi version of Sephiroth coming down.
And he's got the sword, and it's still the same length. He does that
shootout. Yeah, the sword is the same length, but he's only like a foot and a half tall. Like that. With one little wing.
I'm gonna have to go look at the
it's hilarious.
But almost everybody knows the main theme for Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Mario theme there. And yet again, it's only had slightly different renditions throughout time. And it's Square Enix does an amazing job in regards to almost any soundtrack it does.
Oh yeah.
So
I'd have to agree with that one.
I would agree, hands down. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a single Square Enix soundtrack I don't like.
And I like I said, I haven't played a ton of Final Fantasies. I give it their soundtracks are probably the best of all time. I love their soundtracks. I have 14s. I didn't get the collector's. It came with the collector's edition, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't get the collector's edition, but I bought it separate. Well, I also bought the Heavensward soundtrack. They're good.
Yeah. And the fact that they can charge $50 for a soundtrack before Meteor for the original Final Fantasy XIV, and people buy the hell out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a bit of a ripoff, but there's so much music. There's a lot on there.
Yeah.
And so, Square does an amazing job. And I'm sorry, they're the kings here for just this particular thing. There are developers that do plenty of better things, but I think Square would definitely win in the soundtrack category.
I have to change my favorite song again. I completely forgot about the Chocobo theme.
Which one?
Anyways, we're done any with you them. And your favorite songs because you keep changing it.
Or it could be Crazy Chocobo from 13-2.
See?
The heavy metal one.
He's just going to keep changing it. You'd be better 13. Off just going.
I like 13's Chocobo music because it has words.
Yeah.
That was weird. And especially if somebody went through and like wrote them, like extended it, like made a full lyric for it. It's Final Fantasy itself is such a giant thing because I mentioned them earlier, Video Games Live.
Yeah.
They go through, they do video game music as an orchestra. Final Fantasy has its own fucking orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
Or Distant Worlds. It's, I want to say Nobuo Uematsu.
Okay. About Nobunaga Oda?
Not Nobunaga. I think he's the main producer for Final Fantasy music. He leads a full orchestra that goes worldwide almost every year and does nothing but Final Fantasy music. And they do all of it to gameplay clips up on a huge, like, Jumbotron.
Okay, that's kind of awesome.
So
it's pretty legit.
The fact that that happens and every single show is sold out for fucking video game music. I mean, Video Games Live does great, but I don't think they sell out every freaking thing. They do some Final Fantasy music that they've gotten permission to do. It's not that they got rights to do it. It's just Square's like, we're not going to sue you for it. Go for it.
Well, that's nice of them.
Yeah. Well, in this day and age, a developer not suing somebody, especially one that has monetary troubles here and there.
That's really strange.
So, if you ever get a chance, just like YouTube Distant Worlds, or I think it's on Spotify too.
It's on Spotify.
It used to be. I just tried to search it and I could only find one album.
Okay.
So I think that about does it.
Yeah.
I would say it does.
So you know, like you said in the beginning, soundtracks can define a video game, whether it's licensed or not. Put it in the right places, it's good. It's a art form that people are getting lost to, and just keep an eye out for those soundtracks, because some of them can be, you know, triggers.
I mean, you say triggers?
Well, you know what I mean. Like, yeah. With Halo triggered, and Mario. Triggered. Like, Halo and Mario, like, it could trigger a fond memory.
Yeah, they can trigger emotion.
Yeah, so...
That's why whenever I get a chance, if it's a collector's edition that's not insanely expensive, I'll get it, as long as it has a soundtrack.
Yeah.
Like, I used to do it for art books, but...
Oh, same.
You know, buy an art book.
Art books kind of fell to the wayside. Soundtracks are better.
I can get a soundtrack. Like, if, like, I'm going to be getting the Persona 5 Collector's Edition because it has a soundtrack. I mean, it's $30 more for all this crap. How much do you think somebody will sell that soundtrack on eBay for?
If you can't get it separate, at least not at launch, they would probably sell it for... anywhere from $50 to $100.
Yeah. So, I mean, soundtracks are a big thing. And it's a big selling point in regards to collector's edition for me. If it doesn't come with a soundtrack, there's probably a good chance of buying the collector's edition.
Yeah, don't blame me there.
So,
yeah.
Anybody got anything else?
That's pretty much it for me.
That does it for me.
What the fuck is happening? I don't have a clue.
I'm really quite confused. I don't know what to do.
The song is fucking stupid all of the way through.
The Pwn Stars deploy.
Hey guys, if you liked what you heard, then head on over to Twitter and let us know at @Pwn_stars.
Or help us get heard by liking and sharing us on Facebook at Pwn Stars Podcast.
Or hell, just shoot us an email at pwnstarspodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you want to hear about.
Or how much we suck. Either way is fine.
Make sure to join us every Tuesday by finding us at pwnstars.podomatic.com.
Or on that weird iTunes thing. No idea how exactly to use it, but Will told me to mention it because apparently we're on there too.
Okay, that's enough Pwn Stars for now. Later.